Another great show, another great day. That's what life is about, experiencing different opportunities. Welcome to Money Making Conversation. That's right, I'm your host, Rashawn McDonald. Each Money Making Conversation talk show is about entrepreneurship and entertainment. I provide the consumer and business owner access to celebrities, CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. It is important to understand that everybody travels a different path to success. That's because your brand is different. The challenges you face in your life are different. So stop reading other people's success stories and start writing your own. I'm telling you the truth. Now, you can be motivated by their success because their stories can offer direction and help you reach your goals through your planning and committed effort. And effort has to be number one. My guests on Money Making Conversations have that same passion, and they share that information when we talk about their career, motivation, what they are promoting, how they live a balanced life, and their secrets to success. The show is for you, about you, and will help you. My next guest is a long-time relationship back in Los Angeles. My next guest is a former senior vice president of marketing for Atlantic Records. Now, he is the president of Will Packer Productions and is responsible for developing and overseeing productions on all film projects through the company's first look deal with Universal. As a producer, his films have grossed more than $800 million at the box office to date. He is on the show today to talk about his career and his new movie, The Photograph. Please welcome to Money Making Conversations, my man, James Lopez.
Rashawn, thanks for having me, brother.
Well,
glad James, to be on this show.
Well, thank you. I know you're busy because this is promotion week. Another movie, another line of promotion. This is great. I know Will's out there. So I see you getting out there a lot more promoting projects. Is that part of the growth of James Lopez?
Yeah, you know, I've been told several times in the past that I need to get out there a little bit more. You know me, brother. I'm when it comes to promoting and publicity and just doing the press, I like to stay behind the scenes and be quiet. But I've been told that I need to let the people know what I do and that I definitely have an inspiring story to tell, and that that I provide an example for some folks. So I kind of have decided not to be as selfish.
Thank you.
Talk about my story a little bit because it might be helpful.
It really is helpful. So, that's what the format of Money Making Conversation is all about. I started in 2017, and it was supposed to only last 6 weeks. And then I realized that through the conversations and bringing the different type of people I had on the show, and first it was just people I know. And then all of a sudden now it's just individuals in the industry that realize I have such a positive format that allow them to tell their story. And also it's really about helping people. And when we talk about helping people, you know, I have to talk about my relationship with you. And, you know, you and when I was with Steve Harvey, you know, you broke our first ringtone deal. And I got to say that.
Correct.
Because, you know, that was a skill that you have and had, you know, because I didn't know you, but you had a likability and you was a professional. And I remember when Steve said, should we sign this deal? I said, yeah, James Lopez, I trust him. And for me to say that is a lot because that means that you understand the value of communicating the honesty of the deal and also the value of a relationship. I'm sure you've been told that a lot over the years, correct, James?
Yeah, you know, I've been told that I'm a kind of a no-nonsense type of guy, and I think a lot of people take my low demeanor, my quiet demeanor.
Yes. He is quiet, y'all. He is quiet.
They take my quiet demeanor as a sign that maybe that I might be angry or maybe I'm not really trying to mess with folks.
Right.
It's not that at all. It's that I'm constantly thinking. I'm constantly observing the room. And, you know, I believe that if you don't have something additive to say in the moment, just don't say it. But when you do have something to say, it carries more weight. So that's just the way I operate in life. And I'm, I admit it, Rashawn, I'm a little bit socially awkward, too. That's why I'm quiet.
Well, no, I'm going to tell you something, man. You know, I've been around you a lot. And because we, you know, it was in the music business. So you had always an artist. That's how we connected. And and that's when you told me, hey, Rashawn, T.I. making a lot of money on these ringtones. Y'all probably want to look into that. And so you understood that ringtones were popular back then. That was a lot of way. It was a quick way just using your voice on ringtones and people were buying them. And then, but of course, all things change and all things, You have to make a transition. And at the time, you was the senior vice president of marketing for Atlantic Records. What did that job entail?
Well, back then, you know, I was largely responsible for the urban roster of artists signed to Atlantic Records. So artists like T.I., Fat Joe, Fabulous, Trick Daddy, Trivium, Missy Elliott, Sean Paul, Nappy Roots, Lil Brother, and the list goes on and on. So I was responsible for the imaging, packaging, and bringing to market those artists, whether it be album packaging, whether it be promotional touring, putting together their stage show, award show performances, all the way up to, like, you know, music video production.
Right.
I was kind of like what a quarterback is to a football team is what I was in the building at Atlantic Records when it came to that particular artist. Kind of right. Like an in-house manager.
Yes.
I wasn't the artist manager, but I was the person most involved in their life and in that project within the company.
Right.
And kind of like leading the company's charge to bring that album or that artist to the marketplace. That's right. What I was.
Absolutely. So then in your intro, I make this statement. As a producer, his films about his career, during his career, have exceeded $800 million at the box office. Now, that's from music to film, which we know, I can't say they're similar because they're different. Because one's visual, you know, even though you might say music videos are visual, but that's not a movie or a film. That's a beginning, middle, and end. That's casting. That's being at the right publicity, being at the right moment. How did you make that transition? Because I remember when you made it, I told Steve at the time, I said, my boy doing films now. And I really was happy because I know that you know, music was changing. You know, record stores were dying out. You know,
a lot
of more independent thought process was being put into how you release labels. Did you make a decision looking at the industry, or you said, hey, I really want to do film?
It was a combination of both, to be honest with you. I'd always had the passion for film and television. To be honest with you, Rashawn, early on in my life and my career, I just didn't think it was possible for brothers, to be honest. You know, right. It's like coming. I'm a boy from Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
And so, like, to be involved in film and television, there was no examples for us growing up in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
There was no one I could point to and said, you could do that. Like, I knew of, obviously, we all know of actors and directors.
Right.
You know, like the Spike Lees and the John Singletons and, you know, being in college and watching those guys do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I wasn't going to be that. I had no idea what a producer did. I didn't know that there were people behind the scenes, predominantly Caucasians, that were behind these movies. So I just took the natural route into music.
Right.
Because there were several examples that we as black men could point to and say, okay, well, Russell Simmons did it, and this one did it, and that one did it. I could do that. I could be that.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got into the music business and got in and was more immersed in the culture of entertainment and meeting different types of executives and then getting involved in soundtracks in the music business, I started interacting with studio executives and producers. And then I started to get exposed to the possibilities of where I wanted my life to go. So it was in the mid-2000s, I would say 2004, 2005, when I consciously made the decision that this is what I want to do next, and I'm going to work my tail off to get there.
Right. But let me just drop that in there. I remember you started telling me you were writing scripts at that time.
Well, I was coming up with pitches and decks for ideas.
Right,
And when I look back at them, they were terrible.
But you had energy, though. You had energy behind.
I had the energy, and what I was doing was conceptualizing projects. And that's where my strength lies. Is coming up with concepts or discussing with other creatives.
Right.
Concepts for movies and then bringing them to the marketplace, figuring it out, you know, going, finding writers, finding a director, casting, starting projects from scratch. But I made that decision in 2005, and it took me 5 years. It took me 5 years of networking, of reading tons and tons of scripts, and kind of building up my chops so that when I got the opportunity, I was ready.
And that was at Scream Jams, right?
Until 5 years later, until 2010.
It was at Scream Jams, correct?
Correct, yeah. Okay. I was hired by a gentleman named Clint Culpepper who gave me a shot. Mm-hmm. I had done a soundtrack at Scream Jams when I was at Atlantic. Mm-hmm. And that's how I built my relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got even closer to him on the set of Takers. T.I. introduced me to Clint again on the set of Takers. And that is the evening that I met Will for the first time, my now producing partner.
Right. Now, $800 million. When I say that, what runs through your mind at the box office?
$800 million. Now, here's a lesson for your listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
Box office numbers are great.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a piece of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a piece of ownership of any of that $800 million. That's what my movies made.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't own those movies. The studios own those movies.
Mm-hmm.
When you got brothers like Tyler who own their films.
Yes.
And they get a majority of that dollar that comes back. For every single dollar that goes out, he's getting a large percent of that money coming back to him. And that's what we got to strive as people to work towards.
Right.
Is the ownership.
Mm-hmm.
We are formidable. We are beasts when it comes to creating content and providing entertainment for the audiences. We create culture, but we have to start having a stake in ownership in that culture. And right now, that is what Will and I are striving towards, is more ownership of our catalog. But, you know, nevertheless, it is impressive that so many people have enjoyed our films.
Mm-hmm.
Where the company is headed is building up that library
right.
of titles. Ownership of that library is a goal. And also diversifying what we do. Mm-hmm. The movie that's coming out this weekend, it is our first drama. Like, it is a romance drama. It's not a romantic comedy.
Right.
It's not a comedy. It's not a thriller. Mm-hmm. It's a straight-up adult black love romance.
Right.
And that's something new for us as a company. And we're working hard to make sure that we diversify the types of movies that we're making so that we're not just eating off of comedy, but off of everything.
Right, right, right. I tell you, I'm talking to James Lopez. He's the president of Will Packer Production, has a new movie out this weekend called The Photograph. We'll come back and get more details because... hadn't had a movie out here like this, like since Love Jones, my boy Lorenz Tate, Nia Long. That's what he's talking about. Money Making Conversation. Be right back.
We'll be right back with more from Rashawn McDonald and Money Making Conversations. Don't touch that dial.
Money Making Conversations continues online at www.moneymakingconversations.com and follow Money Making Conversations on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time you stop thinking about your dreams and put some plans into action.
Hi, this is Rashawn McDonald. You're listening to Money Making Conversations. I'm talking to James Lopez. Long time gentleman. Met him when he was Senior Vice President of Marketing for Atlantic Records. Now, he's breaking down information about my listeners about the art of the deal and being a bigger player in the deal. More importantly, he's on the show today to talk about his new movie. Like he told before we went to break, he said, Dave, diversifying the portfolio, moving out of the comedy-laden drama where they had so much success into a romantic drama. What really pushed this envelope besides a great script and opportunity to diversify your portfolio?
I think the reason why we sparked to The Photograph, first of all, it started off, yes, with a great script. Like, Stella McGee wrote a beautiful project. Mm-hmm. She is also the director of this. It was a very personal project for her. And we wanted to jump on board and help her fulfill her vision and bring this to screen. So we're very proud of being a part of this. But we just felt like it had been such a long time since the core African-American audience has received a love story.
Right.
And you mentioned Love Jones. You know, that was 20-plus years ago, so it was Love and Basketball.
1997, okay? 1997.
Yeah. And, you know, we just felt like it was time to make another black love story that wasn't based around trauma. you know, unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of great films that are created and catered to the African-American audience. But when it comes to love, there's always a betrayal or out of wedlock child or somebody got killed.
Right. Or stalker.
A stalker. You know, this is straight just two black folks loving each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to figure out love, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is about generations. It's about Issa Rae's character who has just lost her mother and through a series of letters is finding out more about the woman her mother was and the mistakes in love that her mother may have made, and to make sure that she's not going to repeat the same mistakes her mother made.
Mm-hmm.
So we are watching, when you watch the film, you're watching two stories separated by 30 years.
Right.
So it's about generational love as well. And it's very moving and touching.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think folks will enjoy it. It's a great date night. It's a perfect date that the movie's coming out on Valentine's Day. It's a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone listening,
mm-hmm.
take your special someone to go check this out, because you're going to love it. And the music is phenomenal.
Absolutely. Well, it has to be.
Another fellow Houston native, Robert Glasper, did the score.
Awesome. Congratulations. We're getting out there spreading that wing. You know, the beauty of listening to you talk, James, first of all, you sound just the same. You sound just as, you know, you give out information. And that's what always impressed me about you, is that you're informative and you really know how to hit all of the right deal points of the conversation. But one thing I always liked about Will, because I did the first movie with him, Think Like a Man, he mm-hmm. always knew how to select talent that was on the rise, about to pop.
Yes.
He was always good at that. You look at his movies, he always gets that talent right when it's about to, because he does that really well. And like in that case, it was Kevin Hart. I knew about Kevin Hart. And I know when we sold the movie, Steve Harvey and I sold the movie to Screen Gems, which is Clint. And I told Will no at first. I said, no, Will, I'm not going to do the movie with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he brought in Clint, and then they came down to Dallas and we rode around on Steve's property, convincing mm-hmm. me, hey, this is the right people. We got the right idea. We will make this be a winner. And then I said, who's going to do the lead? He said, Kevin Hart. I said, Kevin Hart? He said, Rashawn, he's about to break, man. He's about to break. He's about to do that. And so I look over at the two stars that are at the top of your list here, Issa Rae and Lakeith Stanfield.
Yes.
Okay, now Stanfield, let's go back a little bit. The Atlantic series, okay? That's when I first discovered him. And I went, and I was telling my friend, I said, this dude right here, this dude's talented. This dude is funny. Yeah. Funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lakeith, you know, he was in Get Out as well.
Yes.
He was in Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler that had a nice run a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Lakeith has been working.
He has been working. I mean, but all platforms, though. All platforms.
Oh, yes. Yes. He has been working. And obviously, you know, Issa Rae, the queen, like, you know, creating the show Insecure for HBO and all the things that she's been doing. But we take pride on, you know, making sure that in every one of our movies we have people who are about to pop or have recently come on the scene. And this particular one, I think you guys are going to really enjoy an actress by the name of Shantae Adams.
Okay.
She plays Issa Rae's mother in the past, 30 years mm-hmm. in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, this girl put in work, mm-hmm. her performance is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Your listeners may or may not know her from a Netflix movie on the rapper Roxanne Shantae. It was a Netflix movie called Roxanne.
Right, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shantae played Roxanne in that movie, in that Netflix movie. And she is just an incredible performer, and she does such a beautiful job of acting in this film.
So let me ask you this. Jane, because you're a producer on the movie. What exactly does a producer do on this, especially this particular movie, The Photograph?
Well, I'll tell you my role in this one. When Will and I first started producing together, before I joined the company, he took a meeting with Stella regarding this particular project. She had not written it yet. Mm-hmm. It was just a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And when I joined the company, which was like a year later, she had written a script and it was floating around town. And I read it and I was like, oh man, we need to be doing this movie. This could be this generation. And I said, word for word, this could be this generation's Love Jones. We should be making this movie. So I go to Will. I'm like, I read the photograph. I know you took a meeting with her about a year ago, but you should read this script. Mm-hmm. It's really good. He read it. He was like, I agree. I said, we need to take this into Universal and fight for it and set it up. So we did. They bought the script, and we spent the next year and a half to 2 years developing it through several drafts and got it to the point where we got the studio to greenlight the film. So during that process, and, you know, producer and working with the writer to hone in on the script, get it to the, you know, get it, addressing notes, getting it ready to share with cast. We talked about cast, who's available in the time frame that we want to shoot the film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do we think would have the best chemistry? You go through that process. I'm hiring a line producer who comes up with the schedule and budget. We're making decisions about where we're going to shoot the film. You know, New York plays a character in a film, so it was the filmmaker's vision to shoot the film in New York. Not a lot of films shoot here.
Mm-hmm.
So we won that battle. then it's about putting the crew together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's going to be the director of photography? Who's going to be the costume designer? You know, who's going to be the production designer? Who's going to help cast the movie, the casting director? So we, you know, you put all those people together, get them approved, get them on the team, and you start building your crew to execute this script all the time while you're sharing the script with agents and managers to get the cast that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get through all that, you go into pre-production.
Right.
Pre-production on this film was 8 weeks.
Wow.
And so, in that 8 week time period, you're scouting, you're building sets if needed.
Right.
You know, the costume designer is showing options for the characters. You have your director of photography who's building their crew, their camera operators, what the lighting is going to look like, your storyboarding, shot listing. So much goes into it before you start. And then you're on set. We shot this movie over 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Six, which were in New York, and 1 week in Louisiana.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you go into post-production, which is a 22-week period, mm-hmm. where you're editing, wow. you're sound mixing. During that time period, our director, she had expressed the desire to have Robert Glasper score the film. So without her knowing, I went off and got Robert Glasper. You know, I got a hold of him. We had a meeting. I'm like, look, we two H-Town boys. Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
I took him to the studio. Robert had never scored a movie before.
Wow. Wow.
So I convinced the studio, hey, give this brother a shot.
Mm-hmm.
He's a world-renowned jazz musician.
Mm-hmm. I know.
He could score this film with his eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, once the studio approved him, then I had him sit down with Stella, and they worked out the vision for what she wanted the sound to be in this movie. And now we're here. That is producing.
Well, my man, that's a journey a lot of people needed to hear for the first time on my show, because mm-hmm. the shooting period was just 7 weeks. You know,
yeah.
pre was eight,
process
and post pre was eight, and then. And post was 22. That was 30 weeks. And then it was almost 2.5 years to get it approved.
Correct.
And when mm-hmm. you first walked or was introduced to her, she didn't even have a script. She had a treatment or a concept. So there's a lot of trust in that process to get to the point that we see the movie photographed. But I don't want to linger on the process. There's some more people in this movie. My man Courtney B. Vance is in this movie, who I love. And even though there's a drama, you got my man Lil Real, who everybody knows from Get Out, one of the funniest comics, one of the, that has a special out last November that was outstanding, called Lil Real, man.
He plays Lakeith's brother in this movie.
Mm-hmm. And Lakeith, he's funny too. And so then you have Issa Rae, who I saw in Little, and I became a bigger fan. I actually became a bigger fan of her in the movie Little that you guys also did, and did very well at the box office, I think, last May. And and it's playing right now. If you don't know it, just go to the it's on pay per view. It's also probably
pay per view and video on demand. Yeah,
video on demand.
I think
right
it's
now
on HBO too.
HBO Little. And so when you see a movie like this being put out there, you still have a little touch of I think that you can bring. You're not trying to do a comedy movie, but you do have guys who can bring that comedy moment just to break the ice. Correct.
Yeah, correct. There's moments where, you know, the audience, we break the ice. It's not a drama all the way through.
Right.
So every once in a while, you'll get a chuckle, you'll get a laugh in the right places.
Mm-hmm.
But it does tug at the heartstrings. There's another actor I want to bring up who's in this. There's two of them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Calvin Harris Jr., who the audience may not be familiar with his name, but you are familiar with his face. This young brother is going to be up for Academy Award one day.
Mm.
He's done phenomenal work in so many other movies this past 2 years. Like, he's working literally nonstop. I believe The Photograph was his fifth movie that he shot in 2019. He did five movies last year. He was in a movie called Waves. He's in another movie called All Rise, even a movie called Loose opposite Octavia Spencer, but he's just a phenomenal young actor.
Mm.
He's in the movie, Jasmine Cephas Jones is in the movie, and so is my boy Rob Morgan.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen Just Mercy, but Rob, if y'all seen it, Rob was the one that went to the electric chair in Just Mercy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, when they were clanging all the jail cells and let them know that they were with him. Let him know he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was not down there by himself. That's a very good movie. That was a powerful moment in that movie.
Yeah, that brother has some powerful moments in our movie. Real emotional moments.
Well, you know, my biggest takeaway when I listen to your projects and I watch your project, and again, congratulations to Will. And Will, know I've been a fan before he brought any movie project to him. To me, or to Steve, and or to start promoting on our radio show format, and that's why I built this format to be able to have power, to be able to put another layer of information, not only about the people who are starring in front of the cameras, behind the camera, but you guys all have stories. You know, Sam, we say H time, but Sam Houston State University is proud of what you're doing. 4 years playing football over there before you rolled out to L.A. and realized that your dreams can be possible. And then this movie, again, The Photograph. I want to call my friend because of the fact that I trusted him and we've known each other over the years, and I've followed him and he's followed my success. And we're on the phone today just talk about another great moment, a great moment in our lives where we're about to, you know, set a different pattern for what the movie could be. I know that they always project. Have they put a projection on what the box office may be this weekend?
Yeah, I don't even like to talk about it, man.
No, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
Don't
talk about
it.
Don't jinx it.
Don't jinx it.
All I
just want it to do well, and I want our folks to come out and support and really talk about this film, and I want them walking out with a greater sense of love for who they're with or who they want to be with. But also, I think a lesson that's learned from this film is we learn how to love from our parents.
Right.
And when you watch this film and you're watching the parallel stories 30 years apart, you know, we pick up a lot of positive things from our parents as well as negative. And we learn how to love because we watch them love.
Wow.
And that's what this movie is talking about.
That's a beautiful statement. Again, starring Issa Rae, my man Lakeith Stanfield. It's called The Photograph. It's coming out this weekend. For all you couples out there, for all you people, we want to sit down and hold hands this weekend. This is the movie to watch. James Lopez, thanks for coming on my show. Talking about your project.
Thank you, brother.
Talking about your past and talking about your future, my friend. $800 million and counting, because they're going to start counting this weekend, my man. Again,
All right.
MoneyMakingConversations.com. That's right. I'm Rashawn McDonald. I'm your host.